Hello and welcome to the Kimberley IT podcast.
Hi, James.
This is our 100th episode, Kyle.
I know, 100th episode on my birthday.
Was it your birthday today?
Yep.
Oh, boy, how old today. Are you now then? Happy 48. Birthday. 48.
Yep.
Ah, well, there we go. Yeah. I was going to say that most other podcasts do something special on their 100th, like get past guests to do a voiceover of how great you are, and we're so pleased that the show's still going. But for us, we celebrate your birthday, unexpectedly.
Yeah, and we didn't think about doing the voiceover either, to be honest.
No, we didn't. No. We've done absolutely nothing special at all, apart from you and I are going to reveal what our favourite episodes were from our favourite episode from the past 100.
Yes.
So have you got a coin? Do you want to toss a coin?
No, you go first.
I've actually got a coin. I have got a coin. I've got a 40 coin here. I haven't. I've got a... what the hell is this?
I don't know. What is it?
It's a... I think it's a one... It's a... A what? It's a one cent or whatever they call it in China. So, do you want reeds or the number? Reeds or number?
Reeds, please.
It's reeds.
Right. Does that mean I have to go first?
Well, I'll let you pick.
You go first. I want you to go first.
My favorite episode at the time, it was the longest one we recorded, but it turns out it wasn't quite the longest, but it was with Richard DeVere. And cybersecurity.
Yes, that was a good one.
Cool stuff. That was the whole lot.
That was one of my favourites as well, actually. That was a really good one. It was.
That's the one. If you want to go back and listen to a really good one, go look for the Richard DeVere episode, our interview with Richard DeVere. It's almost 3 hours long, I think. It's a long one. It might be not that long, maybe 2.5 hours. Awesome. What's yours then?
I couldn't do it, James. I couldn't really put my finger on it. I would have put Richard DeVere was definitely there. Big Tony from SADA. That was a great one. And one right back at the early one, one of the very earliest ones in which you were suspicious that I was a serial killer. I quite enjoyed those.
Yeah, but there are some sleeper episodes out there. It's just you and I, but they got some really good stuff in them.
Yeah, I was going through it all, and it's like, it's really hard to put a finger. And you know, I thought you'd go with Tony. I really did. I thought you'd go with Tony.
Tony was good. Enjoyed Tony talking about Google Workspace and all that, but Richard DeVere just edged it for me.
Yes. I think Tony was probably our biggest known guest, like our biggest name we've ever had on, because he heads up the world's biggest Google partner. But Richard's was fascinating because it's a topic we just enjoyed and you could get really into it then.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it because I didn't have to do much in that episode. It was just you and Richard going for it and I was just sitting back enjoying the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, so we scrolled back through on the Kimberley IT podcast webpage, scrolled back through those. Have a look. We've actually got 100 episodes. There might be one you want to listen to.
Yep, the Kimberley IT podcast.
And you've named them well, James. The names of the podcasts are pretty good. When I was going through the list, it's pretty clear what they're about from, you know, what's going to be talked about. So it's pretty easy to pick one. It's not like you've got to go, how do I know if number 74 is any good?
Yeah I've tried.
It's a good name.
I bought the name on for the most interesting part of the podcast. So that's what normally the name is linked to. Because there's normally a couple of topics we talked about in those older style podcasts.
Well, there's something I notice when I'm looking for a podcast. Say I find a podcast and I want to listen to some episodes. Most podcasts are badly designed. They have got, this is my special brilliant podcast, episode 72. And then it tells you what it's about. Well, most apps, you can't read that then. It's off the screen. So come on, people. One of the best ones that doesn't do that is In Our Time, Radio 4's podcast. Dead easy. Just has one word for what it is. Just has what it is. And that's it. Easy.
Yeah, I've just gone with the subject line of what it is. Initially, I did have like episode one and then that, but then I noticed on some podcasts and on smaller screens, you had to wait for that scroll across so you couldn't see it straight away. So that's why I dropped all that part at the start. No,
I think that's a good shout, that really is. Right.
So this week for the 100th episode, we're going to be talking about why you should put effort into learning tech.
Yeah.
Because we often come across people and it's the saying that I can't stand is when they go, oh, can you do this? Tech isn't for me. I'm not good with computers. They're not my thing. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe back in the 1980s or even 1990s, they weren't your thing, even maybe the early 2000s. But now everything has tech in it. You get smart kettles, smart fridges. Your car's going to have more tech in it than you've got in your home for a lot of people. And all that kind of stuff. Everyone's got a mobile phone. There's no, you know, that excuse does not have any validity anymore.
It has zero validity now. You're absolutely right. When I started my career in IT in 96-ish, 97, it was pretty hard, I guess, to use a computer to be productive without having to really try hard at it. So if somebody said, I'm IT illiterate, I don't understand it, fair enough. They've only been around for a short period of time and you probably never were on your desk before, so I get it. right up to about 2005. I'm starting to get a little bit now. Come on, everyone's got one of these, and most people have had them for a while. After 2010, no, I'm not really forgiving anybody now. We're in the age of social media and Web 2. And now, 2022, unforgivable people, because, and here's my one, James, I've started using the TikTok app for our business. That's I'm doing that. I quite find it fun. There's loads you can do with the TikTok app and some of the other video apps. Amazing what you can do on a mobile phone to edit video. And you have to learn it. And there's loads of features and stuff and skills. And people are doing this. And I'm looking at the ages, young people, old people, all sorts of people, brilliant with TikTok, better than I am in using the app. So they can learn that. They can learn how to use Windows, which they've probably been using already for 20 years. There's no excuse.
Yeah, and we'll go back onto our old favorite subject as well. And it's crazy companies that are employing these people because they don't check to see if they can use a computer or not.
Now, I've got a mixed opinion on this one. I agree with you that companies do not interview for attitude and aptitude on computers. And I would probably go with attitude first. Are they enthusiastic about technology? Do they love technology? Can they wait to get their hands on X, Y, Z? Good questions to ask. What do they love? What do they like doing? All that kind of stuff. That's really sort of important to find out about them, is whether they've got that sort of bite for it. And I don't think anyone's asking those questions, James.
No, there's no. The literal question is, can you use Microsoft Word? Even if they ask that, I suspect that's not even asked. I imagine they see in the person's CV.
On the TV, that one.
Yeah. Proficient in Word and Excel. And that's it. And I'm sorry, but Word and Excel are not relevant or modern programs to be boasting about these days. You know, that's a program that you should be able to use from the early 2000s.
Yeah, the split there's no way you should be boasting about using a word processor. No.
Yeah.
If you say, oh, I'm proficient in Excel, right, let's talk about some VF lookups and stuff. Let's be talking about functions here. Because if you can't do functions and you can't write macros in Excel, don't give me that rubbish that you're good with Excel.
Well, this is the problem with small businesses, because generally the person who's doing the interviewing can't use a computer either, because it's normally the owner and they're not very good with computers.
No. Well, this is the other issue, is that no one is. This is what's so disappointing about it. Like, if you're as an employer to go, right, we're only hiring people, James, that are really brilliant with computers. Man, you've just shot down 95% of the bloody job market. Gone. There's only a few people left that can actually use them. This is really bad.
And that links onto small businesses not wanting to pay for training for these employees that they hire. They weirdly have an expectation that the person can use a computer, but at no point during the whole of the recruitment process do they actually ask the person if they can use a computer. Can you use the systems that we use? It's just an expectation that you can use them, or if you can't use them, you can teach yourself how to use them. And that doesn't work.
No, there's no accountability with IT in a business, and this is a real problem, and it'll become a massive problem as security becomes more prevalent in our industry, and you're going to have to use more security because there's regulation on it. There's no accountability if you're an idiot, basically, who forgets their password on a regular basis and comes to guys like us all over the world to ask for password resets. If you have 3 password resets in a year, you should be up for a disciplinary for that, without a doubt. Probably even less than that. You should be in for, but there's no disciplinary. You could have 3 in a day if you want. The help desk won't flag a thing, because you can just be a moron all day long, and it's wrong. It's just wrong. It'd be like having someone in the office who can't leave the office because they can't pull the door open. They keep pushing it, and then they knock on it and ask, can I have some help with the door? And you're open. Do you remember? I told you this yesterday. Yeah, I got it. Next day does the same thing. I mean, you'd kick that moron out in a second.
And the thing is, it's not hard to learn these tech skills.
No.
The biggest resource for learning computer technology or learning anything is online, and it's free, and it's called YouTube. You go there and you'll find tutorials for every single program that you want to use.
That's right.
Detailed tutorials on Gmail, Google Drive, detailed programs on Microsoft Office, detailed programs on just generally using your phone, using Windows, using Mac. It's all there. But people are just too lazy to go and search that. Instead, sadly, they'll go on TikTok and watch our videos on TikTok, which got some detail in them, but they're only like 30 seconds long. You're not gonna learn a lot from them. You need to go onto somewhere, YouTube, and actually sit down, watch a good 20-minute tutorial video on how to use a system, how to use what you need to use.
Yeah, and it's the core fundamentals that people miss most. Lots of videos tell you tips and tricks and cool things to do, but most people have got the fundamentals, can't go on Windows, for example, cannot go into File Explorer and rename the extension on a file, copy that file, display hidden or extended files. And sometimes you've got to do this stuff. You're using this tool. It's a machine. And you know what? You might need to do that. And you say, I just can't do that. I've no idea.
But they all can get, but all these people who can't do it, they all know how to get onto YouTube. Watch junk videos on YouTube. Just they don't know how to search for proper videos on YouTube.
And then I suppose the two ways that is one, if you've got no IT support, you just don't do it. And if you have got IT support, then you ask the IT support people to do it. And 99.9% of IT people out there have been told by their bosses, do that for the person. Even if it's drag a shortcut from one side of the desktop to the other, do that for them. Person learns nothing. The IT spod has to drag a shortcut across the desk, which is frankly ridiculous. It's bad. It's not good. There's only a few companies. There's only a few people like us and Fraser saying it's a joy that we do this now. We'll go, no. It's a guide on how to drag that shortcut. Go on, have a go.
This is linking into our strategy for this year where we were going, look, we just can't get people to buy training. They will simply just not buy training for their staff.
Yep.
So instead, we're going to make all our training completely free via YouTube and monetize the videos that way and make some money off them that way. So we get something for our effort in there, but just have everything online on YouTube for anyone in the world to watch.
This was something you'd noted because we're having a chat about this and you said to me, you know what, Carl, this lot of people we're dealing in it, they've had training and then they've had other training. And you know what? We went through this with them only last week. I took them through and that video call went, yeah, we did. And it was pretty decent. And you recorded it, James. So, you know, you could go back to it. And then they asked the same question again. And we were like, you know what? I don't think you could train this. I don't think it would matter if you train this person every day. They don't listen or they're a bit daft or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, we're not going to do it anymore. There's no point wasting our time here and our breath. And no, their bosses, are, you know, it's one for their boss to deal with. Because if their employee just refuses to learn, it really can't be our problem anymore. You're going to have to hold them accountable or they can go to our YouTube and at least we'll get some views and monetize it. And we'll do it that way.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, has to be. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, as that old phrase goes. And that was very much true. We think people would want to learn and you try and help them learn and you eat simple and here you go, you can do this, person, you can do it, I know you can, and they just won't, and we can't do anything about that.
Exactly. It's just like it's like I've always said to you, that the vast majority of people in the world are lazy, and I'll happily
you have always said that.
I'll happily go waste their time watching some video, like some prank that's going on at a work site, a building site somewhere, but for the same amount of time it took to watch that, they wouldn't go and sit down on a video that shows them how to do something that's then going to save them maybe 10 minutes every day for the rest of their lives on doing something on a computer.
That is exactly it, really. You've summarized it really nicely there. The majority, it is easy to take the lazy path and it is harder to take the more difficult path, but the difficult path will always bring you the benefit and the lazy path won't bring you anything but a short-term moment of joy or dopamine fix in your brain. And the thing I get with a lot of with the younger people, I'm going to go mostly with younger people here, people under the age of 30 or so are looking to get on in life. You know, how do I get up there? How do I succeed on the employee path? You know what? If you're really good at using your computer, someone's going to notice at work because they all do. You know, hey, Carl can do that. Give him a shout. He's good at that. Before you know it, everyone in the blowing company is going to be coming to you for how do you do this? How do you do that? And your boss will notice. Your boss will probably come to you at some point. How did you do that? I heard you could do this. That's how you get on.
But I don't know. I don't think you'll get any recognition from it.
I disagree. I'm going to disagree with that one because that's how I built most of my employee career.
Yeah, but you were in IT from the start, so you are going to get recognised. But if you've got a boss that doesn't really care about technology, they're not going to, even though you can do something quite clever and it saved them money, they're not necessarily going to recognise that on IT because they just don't understand it anyway.
What it more refers to, rather than specifically IT, I'm referring to the fact that you have a skill that you have bothered to learn, a skill that no one else has. You have made the effort. You have something that other people haven't got and they go to. That will make you shine. It will stand out.
And I guess you've also got the ability then to move to another company that does recognize the skills you have got on a computer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you could totally take those with you as well. It's going to do you zero harm, younger people, if you bother to learn this Windows operating system thing, which I get is probably not something, a figure that you've probably used loads in your life. And it does look a bit awful compared to an app where you press the button and it installs, because there's at least 5 clicks to install anything on Windows.
And talking to business owners, they do need to start training their staff, because the punishment they're going to have in return is they're going to get hacked. because a member of staff is going to be fished, tricked into doing a procedure or sending data to somewhere they shouldn't do. And that's going to get a whole lot messy for the business when they've got to deal with that too. And that's for a lack of training and a lack of investment into learning tech for themselves and then letting their team also learn about the tech that they're using.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's just not right to assume that your employees are going to learn it, teach it themselves. They're just going to turn up and be able to do it.
Yeah, it probably didn't matter anywhere near as much as it matters now 10 years ago if you were the IT illiterate person on your computer network. It's super crucial now. But and the bigger the companies are, like about 100 to 150 people are really vulnerable because they probably only just got maybe an IT manager or some IT support. Loads of people on the network, probably all out of date, don't know what they're doing. They are so at risk from people clicking the wrong stuff.
It's incredibly stupid of the business owners not to train their staff because you're basically paying people to do a job that they can't actually fully do because they don't know how to use the systems or do that correctly. So you're throwing money away, paying somebody who can't perform their duties because you haven't given them the ability to do that duty, and they're wasting time and money for the business.
I went to that event yesterday, which you go, oh, you always go to that event and do your self-help club, Carl. Well, it was interesting. The speaker, you'd like the speaker, James, because he was very direct and to the point about this. He said, in every company, once you get 30 people, 10% of them are complete slacking waste of timers. And these people have got to go and you just got to fire them. Hence, these people who can't use the computers, they've got to go. And he says, don't let the HR department tell you you can't get rid of people. You can always get rid of people. Now, his approach for getting rid of people may resonate with you. If you've got someone who's high up in your company, is like 50 grand a year, and they just aren't doing anything for whatever reason you want to get rid of them, just go and have a chat with them in a room and offer them some cash to go. You'll get rid of them way faster than if you try and fire them and go for all the disciplinary rubbish and all that 6 months of performance management, which you know will end up back where you started. Yeah, just boot them out. There's a lot of companies that should be getting rid of people who refuse. Give them every chance you've given them to learn those computers. Test them. And if they can't do it, they've got to go.
As you can see, Carl's passionate about that. He got very close to the mic and even broke the audio doing that. But I guess the other side is it's not always that easy in that. If you're getting rid of them over a fact that they can't use a computer, they can also, well, you didn't actually give me any options to learn how to use this service that you're using. I told you what I could do on my CV. I was good with Word and Microsoft, but now you're making me use something else that I've never used before.
I don't disagree with that, but what companies should be introducing is a constant learning process of IT.
Exactly, which they don't.
And then testing, a way of managing or accountable, holding people accountable that, yes, I'm going to learn how to use File Explorer in Windows and achieve the 10 things that our company needs to know for me to use File Explorer to do my job. And then after 3 months, you get held accountable with a test to show that you can do it. And if you can't do it, then there's questions to be asked. Simple.
Yeah. And being able to use a computer is a smart way of working because you'll save yourself a lot of time when you can do it compared to others that can't.
Yeah. And a good smart boss would probably implement a policy that says, you know what? If you've implemented shortcuts and you can use your computer to do your job faster, you can go home sooner or something or some such that benefits you from doing it, you know?
Yeah, that's getting a bit over confident about going home early soon for most bosses. But yeah, you'll definitely have an easier life if you can use the technology and actually put some effort into learning it.
Well, if you were the boss and you understood technology a bit better, you'd have had a system built that allowed you to go home early and still use it.
Well, our best clients do have people that can use technology. And they're the ones that get in contact with us very infrequently.
Yeah.
We can quite easily tell the ones immediately that do need to do training that don't do training because of the amount of times their team members get in contact with us over the most simplest of stuff that they've probably been told before, as you mentioned earlier.
And it is quite funny when you work out, sometimes you take on a new client and you think, oh no, these lot are going to need like loads of help. And then actually, oh, hang on a minute. They never contact us. They've just gone with it. It's funny how some people can just, you think might be able to do it, but actually just pick, yeah, I can do that.
It's the ones on site visits that you need to look out for. The ones that when they're typing, they use the cap locks button for capital letters rather than the shift button.
Oh, is that a margin? Is that you work it out, is it?
Yeah, that's how to work it out. Yeah, they tap cap locks on for one letter and then tap it off rather than using the shift button.
Okay. Yeah, I've always used shift with my little fingers and stuff like that. Yeah, shift.
Yeah. I was watching someone the other day and they were doing the caps and it kind of all came together why they're not great with computers because caps of using the caps.
I actually find it's good. Caps lock seems to be rather an erroneous key now, doesn't it? It really does seem to have very little point if the caps lock key.
Yeah, unless you're like writing a hell of a lot of stuff in capital letters, which no one does intentionally.
I feel there's a video coming on here, the history of caps lock, or why is caps lock still here? Why it's obsolete.
Surely there you go. Subscribe now while you're watching this video on YouTube so you can get that episode when Carl brings it out.
I think it may be TikTok length, that one, but I'm going to find out.
But that, I think that's a good point to wrap up this podcast on then.
Yeah, why not? That's good. Yeah, let's do
it. And next week's podcast is going to be about something.
Good.
I haven't actually got the notes up for next week's podcast, so I can't tell you what it's about, but it's going to be about something, and that something will probably be quite interesting. So if you, this is the first time you've listened to this podcast, hit the subscribe button, leave a review on Apple, iTunes, Google Podcasts. They're the main two, and Spotify. Yeah. Spotify is a good one too, because that's actually I think it's probably iTunes and Spotify that are the main two, for Google Podcasts trading in third.
Which is the biggest thing for people to listen to podcasts on?
Yeah, it's definitely Apple, iTunes, and Spotify.
It's got to be, hasn't it? Because I would reckon most iPhone users probably go with Apple because it's sort of built in, and Spotify, it's big, isn't it? You know, we've got that 5-person deal on it. It's good value for money, that.
Well, whichever podcasting app you're using, just write a review.
Yeah.
As long as it's 5 stars, that's what we want. If there's anything less, unsubscribe and don't follow. But
I'll accept 4. It's fine.
I was going to go for 4. Okay. Well, that's it. And look forward to next week when we talk about something interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about something next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.